I'm not really someone that tells stories. If I were at a party or with a group of friends, I'd be that girl who would just listen and keep to herself. But in life, something happens, and you have to tell somebody to, at least, get that weight off your chest. I was in my second year of studying business management at a highly respected college. I don't want to mention which school it was because, as I said, I'm a private person. Moving on, I was on a break. Summer break, and like all introverted kids do, instead of going to parties and hanging out with friends, I decided that the mature thing to do was to get a job. My dad always said, you have to work hard if you want to make it in this world. As I was walking past a pizza shop that I frequently visited during my late night cramming sessions, when I needed food and energy drinks to have the stamina to stay awake, I saw that they were hiring. One thing led to another, and there I was, behind the counter with a red apron on, surrounded by the smell of delicious pizza 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I know what you're thinking. Seems like a great summer job. Well, bear with me here. Each day was the same. Regulars would come in, order the usual, and after some chit-chat while the pizza would be done or the slice would be heated up, they'd be on their way. Occasionally, new customers would enter, and believe it or not, that was the hardest part of the job. As a shy person, I managed to get used to regulars and became comfortable speaking to them, but new faces always made me shell up. All was well and good at the pizza place until one horrific evening. I'll never forget that day. It was July 17th. It was pouring outside, and there were no clients except for one elderly man that was sitting at a table, enjoying his pizza in silence. Besides me and him, my manager Teddy was in the back doing what managers do best, watching TV, of course. It was about closing time, almost 20 minutes away to be exact, so I walked away from behind the counter and headed toward the empty tables. With my trusty rad in hand, I was carefully taking care of the crumbs and pepperoni slices that fell from people's mouths. Yeah, glamorous, indeed. As I was doing my job, the bell that was attached right above the door rang. I couldn't believe it. Who'd come by this late, and especially in this weather? But then I remembered. I was their most loyal customer during finals. As I looked up, it was a man. Quite tall, dressed all in black, having the collar of his soaked jacket as high as it could go, while at the same time wearing a black, cowboy-style hat that covered his eyes. All I could see as he walked in was his big nose. "I'll be right with you, sir," I said while he took a seat at a table. I just finished cleaning. Normally, clients would come and order at the counter, but seeing that he had already sat down and taking into consideration the fact that I was not busy at all, I decided to do a good deed and take his order at the table. I came back in a flash, and seeing that he was soaking wet with water dripping all over the table and the floor, I told him politely with a big smile on my face, "Sir, you know you can hang your hat and coat on the coat rack behind you." Without even acknowledging my suggestion, he put his hand on the table. I could see a poorly done snake tattoo, which looked like it would have been done in prison. A slight chill went down my spine. After a moment of silence when neither of us said anything, I moved on and asked him what he wanted to eat. "Surprise me," he responded. His voice was low. Maybe he smoked, who knows, but as he said those words, I took a step back in fear. There was something off about him. I could sense it. I quickly turned around and went straight to the place where we stored our slices of pizza. We only had pepperoni and cheese, so I decided to heat up that first slice. That's the one I wouldn't have gotten for myself. A minute passed and I was already at his table, shaking in my boots, metaphorically speaking, as I was wearing Chuck Taylor's. As I went to put the plate in front of him, that big hand with the snake tattoo grabbed mine. I froze. I didn't know what was going on. "What's your name, little girl?" the man said while raising his head so we made eye contact. As I stared into his eyes, I felt a sense of terror. That man was up to no good, and without even skipping a beat, I tried to get my hand free while screaming, "Let go!" The fact that I screamed didn't seem to bother him. He just smiled, revealing the unhealthiest teeth I'd ever seen in my life. "The lady told you to let her go," the elderly man said while seeing that I was in trouble. At the same time, Teddy came from the back, hearing all the commotion. "Sir, you need to let her go and leave the premises," Teddy told him in an authoritarian tone, but while he kept his distance. The man kept holding my hand for a couple of seconds more and then he let go. "See you later, Amy," he said while walking out the door. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. How did he know my name? I started to freak out, but Teddy calmed me down. "You have a name tag on," he said. I felt like such a fool for freaking out, but nonetheless, that man let out a bad vibe and he ruined mine as well. Seeing that I was distressed and remembering that the man told me that he would see me later, Teddy offered to drive me home. "Come on, it's raining and that creepy dude even gave me the chills. Let me drive you home and make sure you're safe," Teddy kindly said, and I was okay with it. The drive wasn't long at all, but it seemed to calm me down. I went inside my house before I waved at Teddy, and there I was, safe at last, with a tub of ice cream in my lap and browsing Netflix. What to watch, what to watch, I kept saying to myself while whistling some tune I just made up in my head. After settling on a movie title, I got comfy in the couch. All of a sudden, my power went off. Great. It's raining. No one is going to come and fix it. Maybe I can do it myself, I said while getting up and looking for the fuse box. The bad thing was I left my phone at the shop, and I didn't have a flashlight in the entire house, so I had to improvise and let my vision adapt to the darkness. That didn't work, of course. As I was stumbling on my way back to the fuse box, a strange sound disturbed me. It sounded like the floor creaking. But I was the only one in the house, and the sound came from another room. Now I got scared, and I hid in a dark corner. "Amy, come out, little girl. Why didn't you let me eat my pizza?" Oh no, it was that creep from the store. I'm definitely going to die, I said to myself, as he was slowly walking towards my direction and calling my name while a big knife glistened in the dark. I knew that if I didn't do something, I'm going to die. With each step he took, I remained completely silenced, holding my breath at times. When he got right next to me, I kicked him as hard as I could in his leg, but the man didn't budge. He grabbed me by the hair and he lifted me up. "You're a bad girl, Amy," he said while holding the knife inches from my face. The next thing he did was throw me on the ground with such force that I slid into the wall. "We'll play a game. You run, and if I catch you, I kill you," the murderer said while letting out a creepy laugh. I started running upstairs and he was right behind me. I grabbed a lamp in despair and threw it at his head, breaking it into a million pieces. Of course, the man didn't budge and he continued chasing me. I got into the bedroom and I locked the door while I screamed. Without even skipping a beat, he kicked the door in. He was so strong, I knew I was doomed. There was nothing I could have done to escape. That was it, my time to die. Walking slowly towards me, he grabbed me by the neck and put the knife right on my neck, feeling the cold blade and the blood rush to my veins. I closed my eyes, hoping for a miracle. All of a sudden, I could hear something. "Amy, it's Teddy. You forgot your phone at the shop. Are you okay?" Teddy said. He was downstairs and saw that I had no power, even though the rest of the houses on my block were fine. The man told me to shut up as he guided me out of my bedroom and at the top of the stairs, so I could tell Teddy to set the phone on the table and leave. I'm fine. You can leave the phone and go. I want to go to bed," I said, and Teddy did just that. That was it. My last hope was gone. The man took me downstairs and set me on the couch. "How do you want to die?" he asked. But before I could say anything, he fell to the ground unconscious. Teddy knew that something was wrong and stuck around, grabbing a baseball bat from his car and hitting the guy on the head. While he was unconscious, we called the police and he was arrested after I told the cops what had happened. Later, I found out that several bodies were at his home and other murders were linked to him. The police officer said that I was very lucky that Teddy stuck around, or else the murderer would still be free to this day, and I wouldn't have been here. So, let's just say that I was your average, everyday guy. The type that you'd forget his face or name seconds after you meet him. I liked sports growing up, but the downside to the entire situation was that I wasn't very good at it. Still, I always played basketball with my friends, or my so-called friends at the time. Since I liked going outside a lot, my grades suffered all through high school. Maybe I wasn't gifted when it came to academics as well. My dad left us when I was just a baby, and my mom, well, she had other stuff to do than keeping an eye on me. I don't blame her for where I'm at in my life. Don't get me wrong. But the truth is that she wasn't around as much as other moms. Anyway, All through high school, I stunk at school and barely graduated. At the ceremony, they even left my name off the list. I was invisible to everyone, and the friends that I had were two next-door neighbors with whom I lost contact when they went off to college. After graduating, I worked some crappy jobs where I felt belittled and mistreated, but I always thought to myself, it's going to get better. Fast forward to my 21st birthday, I was old enough to drink and go to clubs, but it didn't feel that way. I just got laid off a couple of months ago, and I was basically broke. Not even my mom wished me happy birthday, as she was, at the time, on vacation somewhere with her boyfriend. On that particular day, I decided to order a pizza, but, of course, it didn't come. So, I got my shoes on, and I went to the pizza place to speak my mind. As I was waiting for the pizza, I saw a sign in the store that they were hiring. The girl at the counter said that she was about to quit her job as she found something real and called the manager from the back. He was a nice, elderly man that had a calm voice and kind eyes. Wouldn't you know it? I got a job on my birthday. Things were getting pretty good. I started 2 days after that, and it was amazing. Everything was so nice. I was interacting with people, and every customer said nice things about me. I would ask them about their day, remember their names and the pizza that they liked. It seemed that life took a turn for the better. For the first time in my life, I didn't feel worthless or invisible. 1 year passed in a flash. You know the saying, time goes by fast when you're having fun. 1 month after my 22nd birthday, when my manager made me a cake and brought me to tears, I found out that he was retiring and someone else would take his place. He didn't know that person, but with a smile on his face, he assured me that everything is going to be fine. I didn't take the news well, but what can you do? One morning, just as I got to the pizza place, unlocked the door, and went on preparing for customers, I could hear a strange noise coming from the back. It was the sound of heels tapping on the floor. I'm surprised that this stupid place didn't go out of business. Shocked, I turned around. A tall woman with red hair and red lipstick was staring at me. "What are you looking at? Aren't you going to introduce yourself?" she said with her hands crossed over her chest. "Oh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know anyone was here." "I'm Terry," I said while my voice trembled. She was quite intimidating. "Well, you would have known that if you came in earlier," she responded. There it was, my first encounter with the new manager. As she didn't even introduce herself on that day. Later, I found out her name was Janice. The next couple of days were harsh. She began demanding that I come in earlier, and I always left late. Besides being behind the counter and also making pizzas, she made me do other jobs like cleaning the table, mopping up once every hour, and if that wasn't bad enough, I had to make her coffee every morning and evening. Yes, those good old days were gone. She was a tyrant in my eyes, but I couldn't say anything because that was the only job where I actually enjoyed working. I was doing all the work in that place while she just sat around all day in the back doing her nails and I don't know what else. But one day, I felt like the most humiliated person on the face of the earth. I remember it vividly. It was slow. It was a Tuesday afternoon. She called for me in her office just as I started assembling a pizza. "Teddy, come here right now," she screamed. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Terry, but since she started being the manager, she called me by this other name. The one time that I confronted her so that she could get my name right, the only thing she did was look at me, shocked, as if, "Why would you say that?" and stated, "Don't you have work to do?" And that was that. Anyway, she demanded I come into her office. She pointed to a bag in the corner of the room. It was her laundry. She ordered me to take them to the cleaners, and before I do that, another order came my way. "Oh, and clean my coffee mug, and make me another. You didn't make it strong enough today. What's wrong with you? How hard is it to make a good cup of coffee?" I felt like a slave. I felt like I was more worthless than the dust I had to take care of in her office every morning. I fell into a strange state of mental confusion, depression, and anger. I did the chores. The day ended and I went home. What am I? Why should I do these degrading things for her? Who does she think she is? I asked myself over and over again. This wasn't the life that I wanted. Who would want to be somebody's errand boy? The next couple of months were even worse. I had to do all kinds of things for her. One evening, she went home, leaving me behind to take care of everything. I was in a state of panic and rage. I didn't think right. I saw her as a monster, and monsters must be destroyed. So I followed Janice. I felt like I was in a movie. She arrived home, and I parked a couple of cars away. I saw that she was living alone, and how couldn't she? I waited, so it got late, and without anyone seeing me, I decided to do it. I wanted to go inside of her house and kill her. That was the only option for me. I couldn't take it anymore. Her windows were open, and I just climbed right in. I had a ski mask on and black gloves. I was prepared. Janice was in her living room, drinking wine and cursing at the TV. It was some kind of reality show. So without even thinking, I came up from right behind the couch and wrapped my hands around her neck, choking her as hard as I could. She tried to escape and even let out a couple of screams while she kicked her legs, knocking the wine bottle on the floor and breaking it. I could feel her veins pumping while my fingers were squeezing her tightly. She managed to get a hold of the wine glass, and all of a sudden, I had shards of glass in my face. I screamed, but I kept choking her while blood was gushing all over. Finally, she stopped moving, and I knew I got rid of a monster. Holding my neck with one hand, I headed towards the window, but as I got there, police sirens and red and blue lights surprised me. Someone called the cops. Because her windows were open, a neighbor must have heard the commotion and all the screaming. Police officers entered the house with guns pointing at me. I froze. How could I end up in a situation like this? I was a normal guy with a boring job. I was the person you'd least expect to do what I did. I looked at the blood on my hand. I looked at her body laying lifeless on the couch. I realized the situation. The cops cuffed me and took me to the station right after I heard that Janice was pronounced dead. Yes, that's what happened to that boring 22-year-old guy who made pizzas for a living. You may wonder, what happened to me? Where am I now and what am I doing? I'm writing this story from my cell, where I'm locked up for another 11 years. Due to the glass shards, the left side of my face is paralyzed. You may think that I could have quit my job and nothing horrible would have happened. Well, who knows? Life's crazy that way.